encourage you all to sign up for our Christmas dinner and to extend the invitation to your friends and to your family and to your neighbors to come and to celebrate this Christmas dinner with us on the 15th. We hold it at the community center. We just need to know how many are coming. If you're able to make it, if you're able to bring some people, you can just say this will be who we're going to be bringing, or you know, this is the so-and-so family, we'll have 10 with us. Let us know. But we want it to be an event that we celebrate together, our mission and ministry. Every year we do this in a celebratory fashion. We also want it to be a place where people can see what's happening in our midst as well. We want it to be an inviting and an evangelistic event in a certain degree, because we want to be a church not with closed doors, but a church that wants to shine the light of Christ into the world. And sometimes the best place where people can feel welcome, just as with Jesus, is around a table where they can't decline food and turkeys and those kinds of things, and share the warmth and the hospitality that should be indicative of the people of God. So we encourage you to invite, but just let us know, and we can plan accordingly. So there'll be signups in the Faith Center. As we go through the next month here leading up to Christmas Eve, and we'll be doing some unique things this year on Christmas Eve, in addition to things that are also very dear to our hearts on Christmas Eve, the theme is going to be In the Light. Looking at some texts as we go along from the prophets as well as from the Gospels, even from an epistle, of what it means that the coming of Christ is the light of the world, and that we are called to be walking in the light as well. I'm going to read a text this morning from the prophet Isaiah, famous 9th chapter, the one that you hear sung in Handel's Messiah year in and year out. Reading from verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, may your word be a light and a lamp unto our path, that we would follow and know the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, on the first day of creation, the Lord separated the light from the darkness. And it seems that the history of the human race ever since has been one in which such a separation has become confused. The prophet Isaiah, recording his words at a time in which the Assyrian Empire was greatly on the rise, knowing, in fact, the kind of struggles that would be coming from without, also recognizes the problem within. For in the 5th chapter, he writes, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. When we gather together during a Christmas season to celebrate the coming of the Lord into the world, we do so in the backdrop of this various truth that light came and shone in darkness. And too often it is said that such a darkness does not exist. Too often it is falsely said that we live in a world in which there is simply bad energy, there is simply a variety of roads to be gone down, lessons to be learned, but not, in fact, difficulties that arise from the actual collision of good and evil. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, writes about this, and after dealing with an apologetic against atheism, he says this: "I will tell you another view that is altogether too simple than atheism. It's the view that I call Christianity in water. The view which simply says that there is a good God in heaven and everything is all right. Leaving out all the difficult and terrible doctrines about sin and hell and the devil and redemption, both of these," he says, "are boys' philosophies." Christmas is gutted of all of its power and its meaning if we look at the world and see it in the midst of a boy philosophy like this. Not acknowledging the truth that there is a war being waged between good and between evil. But the irony is that very few of us at times want to acknowledge this war. And going even further, very few of us want to acknowledge that this war is deep within our own selves. When Isaiah writes, he says, listen, there are people, he says, walking in darkness, and to those who are living in a land of deep darkness. Another translation could be those who are dwelling, who have dwelt in the land of deep darkness. What is this land of darkness? What is this place in which they are walking? Now, certainly the easy answer to that would be the Assyrians, right? This is a place in which we are being attacked by enemies outside of our own borders. And there would be truth to that. There's always going to be, as it were, forces of evil, forces of those who will stand for personal gain, who want to dominate and use power in ways that oppress. And this kind of evil is very real. It has always been real ever since the separation of the darkness from the light. And often we find ourselves trying to, even though at times it's hard to admit it, defend ourselves from the attacks of those outside of our walls. But I want to suggest this morning that Isaiah doesn't necessarily have in mind just the Assyrians. But quite often the problem is actually the people of God not seeing the evil that is within. When he says they're walking in darkness and they're dwelling in a land of deep darkness, I do not think that he's talking about people who by historical accident have found themselves in a tough place and looking for a scrape. I think he's describing a people who have become genuinely confused, that though with their mouths they proclaim faith in the one Holy God, they with their own lives and with their words apart from the community of the Lord have chosen to walk in darkness, who have become comfortable living in darkness. And the more one walks, the more one becomes comfortable living in a place of darkness, the more it grabs a hold of us and doesn't let us go. In Dietrich Bonhoeffer's famous book, called Life Together, this is a man who lived amidst the Nazi regime, and he wrote this book as he was leading a seminary that was banned by the Nazis. And he writes this, he said, "Sin demands to have a man by himself, Sin withdraws him from the community, and the more isolated a person is, the more destructive will the power of sin over him be. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. For sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. In the darkness of the unexpressed, it poisons the whole being of a person. And this can happen, he says, even in the midst of a pious or believing community. Which is why he suggests that in confession, in honest admission of who we are, the light of the gospel breaks into the darkness and to the seclusion of the heart, for sin must be brought into the light. A powerful phrase. Sin must be brought into the light. I am a young pastor. I have not been walking the road as long as many. But it doesn't take very long as a pastor to know that realities of light and darkness are themselves real. I cannot chalk up the deep pain that people feel and the struggles that they go through. I can't deal with the realities of evil and sin in the world by saying that it's simply reducible to willpower, just making a bad choice here and there, or unfortunate energy that has arisen in a person that needs to be kind of given a positive twist. No. People are in a battle. People are in a war with evil, and that evil often takes hold of the heart in ways that grips one, becoming, as it more, destructive and isolating. Which is why when we talk about Christmas, we talk about Jesus coming into the world, and we use those metaphors of light shining in darkness, it is not for warm feelings. It is not simply to give us a sense of this is really kind of a nostalgic time of the year in which we gather together to remember the truth that God is with us, never leaves us, and we can just continue to be on our way. When it's saying light is shining into darkness, that is a metaphor for something that is powerfully real. That is to say that there is a reality of darkness that envelops us, that we walk in, that we become comfortable in, that we begin living in, and we see our friends and our families doing the same. And we know that there's nothing can be done to just simply dispel it or to wish it away. Which is why when the gospel comes in the form of the Christmas season, the reality that God has come into the world, it is by grace that we proclaim that light has come to shine in the darkness. The people walking in darkness, Isaiah says, have seen a great light. And those who have living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Where is the hope, you might say, in the midst of watching people become in their own lives so destructive? And where is the hope, you might say, when we are honest about the fact that even in the midst of a believing community, we've become comfortable with dark decisions, allowing anger and self-righteousness and violations, clear violations, not only of the Sermon on the Mount, but just the Ten Commandments in particular, to take hold of our hearts and allow us to do what Isaiah warns again, looking at darkness and calling it light, and looking at light and calling it darkness. What is the hope? Isaiah says very simply, light has come. Light has dawned. And this is precisely the kind of statement that gives the gospel its power. Folks, this isn't a flashlight. This isn't a moment of illumination that kind of wakes us up to maybe a point of truth. This is the brightest sun you can imagine. This is you on the first planet from the sun being blinded in the midst of a dark reality. That God would come into our darkness and shine his light. That is why C.S. Lewis, in the same chapter that I read from, calls the incarnation, which is to say, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, God becoming human and taking among us our sins and our problems, walking in our shoes. He calls the incarnation of God, I love this, the invasion. This is not the happy day. This is not the sweet, sentimental Christmas. This is the invasion. He says this, the invasion. It says, enemy-occupied territory. That is what the world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, and you might say landed in disguise, and calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage against evil. And when you go to church, you are really listening in to the secret wireless from our friends. That is why the enemy is so anxious to prevent us from going, because he does so by playing on our conceit, our laziness, and our intellectual snobbery. What's he saying there? We want to explain it away. Evil is really not evil. Our laziness in realizing that there is a battle being waged and people's lives are being held in the balance. Christmas is powerful because it is the time in which light shines in the darkness in a powerful, powerful way. And this light is personal. It is meant to shine in the darkest regions of our own hearts, to expose us for who we are, to transform us from within, enable us to begin to walking now in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1. Friends, hear the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in one of his prayers as he struggled with darkness and light in the last days of his life. A man who was imprisoned for fighting evil and lost his life in it. And this is one of his prayers. God of the day and of the night, in me there is darkness, but with you there is light. I am alone, but you will not leave me. I am weak, but you will come to my help. I am restless, but you are my peace. I am in haste, but you are the God of infinite patience. I am confused and lost, but you are the eternal wisdom and the light of my path. Amen. We, as we go along in this series, will talk about the ways in which we are called to be light in darkness. But today we just simply rest with this, that there is a darkness to which God invaded. There is a darkness in which God is shining his light. And as Blaise Pascal writes, in faith, there is enough light for those who want to believe, and enough shadows to blind those who don't. Do you believe in the light? Are you willing to allow the light to shine into your darkness? And are you willing to follow the one who says that he is the light of the world? It is only through him that there is any hope in the darkness that we dwell in. Let's pray. Lord, we confess to you that in us is darkness, but with you there is light. Sometimes we feel, and sometimes we know people who feel this very way, that we are alone. Help us to know you will not leave us alone. We are weak. Help us to know that you will come to our help. We are restless. Help us to know you are our peace. We are in haste. Help us to know that you are the God of infinite patience. You know how confused and lost we are. Help us to know that you are eternal wisdom, intending to direct our path now and forever. Help us, Lord, to rejoice that light has shined into our darkness. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us the one whose government will be upon his shoulders, the one called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is the one who chose to shine in our darkness. We pray for those this morning who are struggling in a battle with the darkness, who we know at times are powerless over it. We pray for your light, Lord, to shine in it and to shatter this darkness. We pray for those who are walking in the light to shine this light on their behalf, to stand for those who are struggling. And may this Christmas season we remember this truth, that though there is a struggle in darkness, though there is a battle within, an evil waging without, the end is sure. It will not be lost if we but walk in the light as he is in the light. If we have the light of life within. Help those here to put their faith in the light. To say, I believe, Christ, that you are the light of the world. Shine your light in me, that I might be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.